Ask you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3. Praise the Lord. We're going to stand up and be counted. Amen.
Right.
Rise up and speak the truth. Amen. Resist the devil and he shall flee. But it takes us to be actively involved. Amen. But we're in Isaiah chapter 3. Praise the name of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 3, let's look at verse number 10 together. Isaiah chapter 3, verse number 10. It says, "Say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings." Amen.
Amen.
We'll read that one more time. "Say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings." Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you now, God, to hear your voice, to hear your word. Father God, your word, O God, is life unto us, O God. And so, Father, we desire to hear it, that we may know how to live. Speak unto us, O God, make it plain in the name of Jesus. And Father God, let us receive all the power and the authority that you have in your word. Father, let us receive it now as you speak it in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for this time of growth and development. Father, you said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by your word. And so, Father God, we thank you, God, that we are being strengthened in our faith as you speak unto us, that we may walk out in this world and truly live lives that make a difference. Father God, I ask that your blessing be upon every hearer of your word now, God, that you will bless them to receive it, and God, to walk in it and be doers in the name of Jesus. And God, I pray that you will just bless me and use me for your righteous cause as I humble myself under your hand. Father God, you be exalted and glorified. Use me as you will. Bless us, O God, collectively. And Father God, we lift you up in one voice with one accord, and we say thank you for what you're about to do in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. One more time. "Say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings." Amen. Our title today is, "It Shall Be Well with the Righteous." Amen. It shall be well with the righteous. Amen. I believe this is a good word for us, amen, at this particular time, because there's so many crazy things going on in this world. As I was saying earlier, amen, you wake up in the morning and it's like there's another story, another tragedy somewhere. Sometimes, amen, you watch all these things and you can get caught up in it and start to be concerned about what does this mean for you. I think one of the reasons why so many people are behind a particular candidate right now is because a word has gone forth from his mouth that this country is in terrible shape, right? And so, you know, if you begin to believe that things are terrible around you, it can raise up all kinds of emotions in you, some of them which are not good, which is why we see and hear some of the things that we're seeing and hearing that are not good. Because those kinds of messages do what? They provoke fear.
Yeah.
And fear lashes out, right? Fear looks to hurt. Fear looks to degrade and to demean. And so we have to be mindful, amen, that even though God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, that we don't take too much of this fear messaging into our heart,
yeah,
right? Reading the headlines and hearing the news. But there's so much going on in this world that, you know, if you take it in, you may think, what does this mean for me? Amen. There may be some things going on with you personally, right, where you're just going through all kinds of ups and downs. Amen. There are sometimes attacks on every hand. You feel like Paul, right, that you're just attacked on every side. Trouble is everywhere. Persecution is everywhere. You're cast down. Every time you try to take a step, something's trying to trip you up. Things aren't working. People are not there for you and all kinds of things like that. And you can begin to think, how is this going to work out for me? Amen. There are times when your future sometimes seems shaky, doesn't it? You don't know about whether the bill is going to be paid. You don't know whether or not the job is still going to be there. You don't know about certain things going on in your life, and it could shake your faith and get you to doubt and to question. Sometimes you see it in other people's lives as they go through things. People you know personally in your family, people on the job. You know, you see things happen to them, and you wonder, are you next? Amen. But no matter where the uncertainty and fear may come from, whether it's from the news, whether it's from your own life, whether it's from somebody else's life, God has a word for us, and it's that it shall be well with the righteous. Amen. It shall be well. In Isaiah 3 and 10, in fact, in Isaiah 3, God is speaking a word of judgment to the nation of Judah. He's speaking a word of judgment to Judah and to Jerusalem. He's telling them how things are not going to work out for them, how their leaders are going to be corrupt. And he's pronouncing judgment on them because of their wickedness, their transgression, their disobedience. And then in the midst of this pronouncement of judgment, God says to Isaiah, tell the righteous it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. See, so God understands that even in the midst of mess, mm-hmm. he can talk to his people and say, but this has nothing to do with you. Understand, it's going to be okay. Amen. Amen. And so even in the midst of some mess, God has a message. Amen. That's right. And that That's message right. is, tell the righteous, it shall be well with them.
Amen.
And so I'm coming today to say to the righteous, it shall be well.
Yes. Yes.
Even in the midst of the mess, mm. even in the midst of the headlines, even in the midst of the chaos Amen. And confusion, Amen. God has a word for you.
Yes.
It shall be well with the righteous.
Amen.
Amen. It shall be well with the righteous. The Message version says, reassure the righteous that their good living will pay off.
Yes.
Amen. See, that's the thing about being righteous, see, of doing right, trying to live for God. Amen. But being righteous, amen, we understand doesn't mean that you do everything right. Right? But it's about having that right relationship with God and purposing to live by His Word. You're in covenant with Him, and so you look to live by His Word. And sometimes, amen, you can get to a point of saying, why should I keep living like this? What difference does it make? People who aren't living for the Lord seem to be doing much better than you. But that's an old story, amen. Do you remember Psalm 83 when the writer there, Asaph, he talked about that? He talked about how the wicked just seem to be getting away with everything. They seem to be getting away with things and saying, well, what's God going to do about it? And he said he didn't understand things until he went into the sanctuary of the Lord. And then the Lord revealed unto him that, yeah, they may be getting away for now, but listen, judgment will come to them.
Yeah.
Amen. Because things don't end here. But for the righteous, we have to understand something, amen, that God says that your righteous living will pay off for you. Somebody needs to know that and to keep doing what, keep doing what's right.
Amen.
Keep living for the Lord. Keep living by His Word. Why?
Yes.
Because it will
yes.
pay off for you.
Yes.
Amen.
God, yes.
It's not going to pay off for you just in the sweet by and by. It'll pay off for you now and later.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
So keep living for God. Tell the righteous, it shall be well. Psalm 128 and 2 says that, talking about the one who fears the Lord, says that, they shall eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shall thy be, and it shall be well with thee. So this message of it shall be well with the righteous is not just here in Isaiah 3 and 10, but we see it elsewhere in the Bible as well, in Psalm 128 and 2. In Ecclesiastes 8 and 12, it says, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it will be well with them that fear God, which fear before Him. So God has, in other places in His Word, a reassurance unto His people that if you fear Him, if you walk in obedience to Him, it shall be well with you.
Yes.
Do you not understand why the devil tries so hard to get you to walk in disobedience?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? To get off of God's way of doing things? Because he understands God's way will end with things being well for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he tries so hard to take the word from you. Remember we were talking a few weeks ago about how quickly the enemy comes to try to snatch the word? Remember we talked about the sermon stealer?
Yes.
Right? That the word gets planted and immediately he comes to try to snatch that word?
Yeah.
Why? Because if you start living by the word, it shall be well with you.
Amen.
He knows that, so he wants to steal the word out of your heart. He wants to steal the word when it's sown into your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to keep you from reading the word by being busy and distracted with all the cares of life.
Yeah.
You got so many things on your to-do list that you can't read like you used to.
Mm-hmm.
You can't pray like you used to, because he's trying to keep you from God.
Exactly.
He'll give you that shiny new thing because he knows that shiny new thing needs maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, glory to God. Do you know one thing about things? Things take time to take care of.
That's true.
You remember when you lived in that small little studio apartment? Remember how, compare how long it took you to clean up that house as it now takes you to clean up your current house.
True.
See, you got a bigger house, but bigger house means more rooms.
Mm-hmm.
It means more cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got 5 bathrooms. Praise God. That's a lot of toilets to clean.
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, when you have 1.5 baths.
Exactly.
It was different.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
When you had that hoopty, you didn't care if it was dirty.
Mm-hmm.
But now you got the bins with the rims. You out there cleaning. I've seen some people, amen, in our neighborhood who clean their car. My God. I mean, and their car looked new, it looked fresh. And I look at them and go, yeah, but I just don't have time to be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But everything you have takes time. And sometimes, amen, some of the things that come into your life, not all the things are given unto you by God. The devil, it says that God gives good gifts.
Yes.
He didn't say he gives all gifts. It says every good gift comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
The devil can give you some gifts too that are not so good.
That's true.
Right? And it could be designed to be a distraction in your life to get you off this word, because he knows if you stay on this word, it shall work out well for you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to share a story with you from the Bible. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. Now as you go there, I just want to remind you, amen, in 2 Kings chapter 4, there was a woman from a little town of Shunem, Shunammite woman, who the prophet, the man of God, Elisha, would come by the Shunammite's house. And the Shunammite woman made sure that he would get something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
She was a rich woman. Amen. She was well, she had means. And she would make sure that Elisha would eat. And then she said to her husband one day, he always comes by here, so let us build a room for him where he can, when he comes, he can have a place to sleep. They put a desk in there. They put a chair in there. They put a lamp in there, amen, and a candle, right, so that he can be comfortable every time he came. I don't know. I'll tell you this. I know that woman is blessed of God,
amen,
even to this day, because when she just says, listen, the man of God needs something to eat, and I'm going to feed him. And not only that, he didn't ask for it, but I'm going to build a room for him so that when he comes by, he can stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think God is favoring that woman?
Yes,
even to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So she built this room, and she treated Elisha well all the time. And Elisha said one day, she said, you know, this Shunammite woman's been really good to us. He was talking to a servant. He said, this Shunammite woman's been really good to us. Go call her and ask her what we can do for her. And so she came, and Elisha said, do you want me to put in a good word with you, with the king or with the captain of the army? She said, no, I'm good. He said, my family takes good care of me. She was rich.
Mm-hmm.
She said, no, I'm good. And she walked away. And so he talked to his servant Gehazi, and he said, we got to do something for her. And Gehazi said, well, she doesn't have any children, and her husband's old. So he said, go call that Shunammite woman back. And so she came back, and he said, by this time next year, you're going to have a son of your own. And she said, man of God, don't you mess with me. She said, don't get my hopes up. Don't deceive me. And how many of you know, the man of God speaks the word of God, and by that time next year, she had a son. Mm-hmm. So let's look and pick up the story in verse number 18 of 2 Kings chapter 4. Because the child grew up. It said the child was grown. But if you would study this a little bit more, they said maybe he was about 10 years old, 10, 12 years old. But in verse number 18 of 2 Kings 4, it says, and when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. So he's helping his father out in the field. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And you know, some believe that he might have had a sunstroke out there, heat stroke. He was out there working in the heat. Mm-hmm. And so he goes, my head, my head. So he had a sunstroke. And so they brought him to his mother. Verse 20, and when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Let's just stop here for a second. So here she is, amen, a woman of means, a woman who's very giving and gracious and hospitable, and the man of God, you know, received that at her hand, and he said to her, God's going to bless you with a son. And she does have a son, and he grows up, and, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, and now he's out there working with his dad, and he has some kind of heat stroke, and he dies. Hmm. He's 10 years old, 11 years old. And he dies in her arms. And she takes him and brings him up to the room that she had built for the man of God and lays him on the man of God's bed. And then she said, I got to go see the man of God. And her husband said, why are you going to go? Because this is not a time you go looking for the man of God. There's no Sabbath. There's no new moon. There's nothing going. She said, don't worry. All shall be well. I don't know about you, amen. But having lost a son, I can't say to you that right after that you ask me something, I'm going to go, all shall be well. It is no way in the world that those words come out of my mouth. So I look at this Shunammite woman in amazement. Amen? At a time like that, notice that this just happened. Mm-hmm. And she's speaking, all shall be well. So in verse 24, she saddles up the donkey and she goes to her servant and she tells the servant, drive and don't slack your hand riding for me. In other words, don't take it easy. Just keep going unless I tell you to stop. And so she went and came unto the man of God, verse 25, to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? Now, let's just stop there for a second. You see how life works? Mm-hmm. Right? You see how life works? She just goes through a traumatic experience. And her husband says, what's the matter? And she makes a declaration of faith. She said to him, it shall be well. Whatever is going on right now, I don't have time to tell you, but it shall be well. I don't have time to stop and talk about. Sometimes you don't talk to everybody, amen? So when you're standing in faith, sometimes the only words you can say is some words of faith. Don't say nothing else. It shall be well. I'm out. So she says that it shall be well. And then she gets on, and the donkeys are carrying her, and she's, you know, in the cart, and they're going fast, and Elisha sees her coming and sends his servant, go ask her, is everything well with your husband? Is everything well with you? Is everything well with the child? Isn't that something, how the thing that you are believing on, that life will often throw questions at you to see if you really believe it. Right? Because she always declared, it all shall be well. And here comes life. Oh, really? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with you? Is it well with your son? You ever been believing on something and life come questioning what you believe in?
Yeah.
Amen. You ever believing you're going to get out of debt and a bill comes and says, you really going to get out of debt? You ever be believing on your healing and you wake up and your back reminds you that it still hurts? Life will come and question the very thing you're believing on.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You're believing on something. Amen. You're believing that your kids are going to act right. And know what happens that day? The principal calls your house telling you he done messed up again. You're believing on things, and life will come to challenge you in that area of your belief. I often talk to Brother Les sometimes. He tell me, yeah, God wants to grow my business and wants me to do this. And in the middle of that declaration of faith, one of them employees, am I telling the truth, Brother Les?
Oh, yeah.
Will start to mess up. And what's that? What does that happen? That's life questioning. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe it? See, the thing is, how many of you know the life of faith is a life that means you have to fight and contend for what you believe?
That's true.
The devil is not just going to allow you to walk into the promises of God. You are going to have to fight for them.
That's right.
Sometimes it's easy to confess a word, amen. God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Praise God, you know the scripture. But what's going to happen is life is going to come, right? And all of a sudden start stripping you of stuff that now makes you wonder, am I going to have all my needs supplied?
Yeah.
Wow.
The Shunammite woman says to her husband, don't worry, honey, all shall be well. And she gets on and she's going and she's riding in faith. And then life says to her, really? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with you? Is it well with your child? Listen, that's why, listen, you know the Bible says don't be too quick to be a teacher. I tell you this too, amen. If you want to be a believer, you better have made up your mind you're going to be a believer.
Yeah.
You can't pretend to be a believer. Amen. Because life is going to throw stuff at you to challenge you in the area of your faith.
That's true.
And so here it is. Amen. Verse 26. Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered what? It is well. What does that mean? She's not moving off her mark. She told her husband it shall be well. But life now wants to know, yeah, but how is it right now? Oh, it's easy to believe that you're going to get a house. But can you believe you're going to buy your first house when you get evicted from your apartment? You understand? Huh? I'm believing on my house. Praise God. That's future. But right now, the eviction notice is on the door. So what's the devil telling you? You don't even have an apartment. How God going to give you a house? Is it well? And she says this. Watch this. Watch what happens, though. She says, it is well. Standing in faith. Verse 27. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone. Now I just want to take this quick time out. Sometimes the people of God are so rude.
Yes.
They're so rude. Here the woman comes and she needs help. And she comes and she grabs onto the man of God's feet. And here comes the servant of the man of God. And he may not say, get off of her. Get off of him. Well, why is sometimes the people of God so rude and rough? Do you remember when in the gospel where it says that that some families brought their children to Jesus so he can lay hands on them? And he wouldn't let them. And the disciple like, get out of here, get out of here. And he said, he had to tell them, suffer the children and let them come.
Yeah.
What is up with the people of God? It's like you don't mind that you're close to Jesus, but like, what, you have a problem with other people being close to Jesus?
Right.
Blind Bartimaeus is on the side of the road. Son of God, have mercy on me. You know what they tell him? Keep it down. What's wrong with the people of God? Mm. Keep it down. You don't take all that. And Jesus stopped, and he stopped his track. Right? What is that? What is it? Be of good cheer, the master wants to see you. You're phony. When Jesus was teaching on the mountain, it's late in the day. What did they say? It's late in the day, and these people have no food. Send them away so they can get something to eat. What is wrong with people who are close to the man of God that they don't want other people getting close to him? Something wrong with that. We need to be like this.
Yeah.
Amen? Why? Because this world needs God. This world needs his servants. This world needs Jesus. We don't need to be throwing people away. Get off of him. It's an amazing thing. So here's Gehazi. He goes to get off of him. And the man of God says, leave her alone. But look what he says next. For her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. So here's the thing about this. And that's why if you got to read the Bible, take your time reading it, because it reveals things unto you. Because see, someone can get all religious and pious and say, in the midst of her tragedy, this woman stood in faith. It shall be well. And then when she was questioned by it, she still stood in faith and said, it is well. And so you have to stand in faith. You have to believe. You have to believe. And then you feel like, oh, God. Because you know sometimes you're struggling to believe. You have more in common with the man who said, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. But you don't want to say nothing because you know people look down on you if you don't believe, because you're supposed to be a believer. Can we stop beating up each other because someone is struggling to believe? Can we stop it already? Yes, encourage people to believe, but stop beating people up because they're struggling to believe, amen? Because that keeps people's mouth wide. Oh, no, I'm believing, but inside they're racked with all kind of confusion and doubt and all kinds of things going on, amen? Yeah. Because so many of us are so pious and telling them, you're supposed to believe, and then somehow you don't struggle with your belief.
Wow. Yeah.
Exactly. And so we can talk about this Shunammite woman and say, she said, all is well. And then she's questioned again. Is it good with you, your husband, your child? It is well. You got to be like this Shunammite woman. Yeah, be like this Shunammite woman, because watch this again. She comes to the man of God, holds on to his feet. Gehazi is trying to get her away. And the man of God said, let her alone. And then he says something. For her soul is vexed within her.
Yeah.
Oh, how many of you know you can be saying things on the outside, but be vexed on the inside?
That's right.
Your soul can still be troubled, even though your mouth says it is well.
That's right.
Come on, somebody. Right. Let's be real around this joint, amen? You can stand in faith and still be troubled on the inside.
That's right.
God's not going to cast you away. If anything, he's going to protect you so you can get closer. Here, Gehazi trying to get him up. Leave her alone.
Man.
Come on. So don't feel bad because you're vexed on the inside, that your soul is troubled. You just went through a tragedy. You just went through a trauma. Your faith is being severely tested.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yep.
And it's all you can to say a few words. It is well. But on the inside, amen, you are being tossed to and fro, and you are hanging on for dear life.
That's right. Amen.
But the woman did speak truth, though. Right? It is well. And even in the midst of the storm, it is well. And I think God is just trying to encourage us that when you and I go through our stuff, not if, but when, that we can still speak and say, it is well.
Amen.
And it's not some phony stuff, because it's consistent with the word of God that he told to Isaiah. Tell the righteous.
Yes.
Tell the righteous.
Yes.
It shall be well with him.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And I tell you the truth, amen, we need more preachers to tell the righteous that it shall be well.
Yeah.
Because there's people who are walking around vexed in their spirit. It shall be well with you. Why? Because you are righteous.
Mm. Mm.
But who are the righteous anyway? Well, we know that the righteous, amen, are those who believe in Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. Romans 3:22 says that we are made right or made righteous with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It's not about what we do. It's about what he's done. Right? It's not about our actions. It's about his. And if we believe in what Jesus has done, then we are righteous. I am not a sinner saved by grace. You can confess that over you if you want to. God says, I'm the righteousness of God.
Amen.
That's what I say.
Amen.
Amen. See, you can't give me a scripture that says I'm a sinner saved by grace, but I can give you a scripture that says I'm the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
So I'm going to stand on the word while you stand on your slogan. You can stand on your slogan. I'm going to stand on the word.
Amen.
I am the righteousness of God in him. Right? So we're righteous. So here's the thing. So when it says it shall be well with the righteous, I want to share some scriptures with you. Some we're going to look at, some we're just going to talk about. Amen. As encouragement for us. Because we're going through some tough times. We're living in tough times. But God wants you to know it's going to be well with you if you are righteous.
Yes.
Do you know Proverbs 10:6? Let's start there. Proverbs 10:6 says, blessings are on the head of the righteous. Amen. Amen? Come on, somebody. Amen. Blessings are on the head of the righteous. If you are righteous, then blessings are on your head.
Amen.
See, you can look at me now and say, you don't have no hair on your head. That's fine, but I got blessings up there, brothers. I got something better, amen. I got blessings on my head, amen.
Amen.
And how many know the good thing about blessing being on the head is just like the oil that's on the head of Aaron. It says it runs down his beard. Down. See, things that are on the top run down.
Exactly.
Amen. Exactly. That means that if you're blessed and blessings are on your head, everybody can. That's why your children are blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Because blessings run down. Amen.
Right.
Listen, you better be under the right people. Right? Do you know if you're under the right people, you can receive blessings that have nothing to do with you, but that this is a blessing that's on their head that flow down into your life?
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Remember, some people, you up in church and you under somebody, amen. I'm just saying. And
amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's it.
Exactly.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Man of God can't be stepping out on his wife and you think. And you think blessings gonna flow down to you?
Exactly.
Come on, somebody. Blessings are on the head of the righteous. And here's the thing. You know what that means? If you're the righteousness of God, but you believe in Christ, you are already blessed. You don't have to be asking God to bless you. You're already blessed because blessings are on top of your head.
That's right.
Right? Ephesians said that God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. That's past tense. So we are blessed. That's why, listen, when we go through tough times, you should say, well, thank God I'm blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I'm still blessed.
Yes.
But you just got to it. Amen. That guy just hit your car. Yeah, but I'm still blessed. They just laid you off, but I'm still blessed.
Yes.
Why? Because you don't lose your righteousness because somebody hit your car or you lose your job.
Exactly.
And if you're still righteous, then you're still blessed because blessings are upon the head
of the righteous.
Mm-hmm. I like this one too. Proverbs 28:1. I'm giving you a scripture. You can write them down and go home. And if you haven't highlighted them in your Bible, highlight them, underline them. Draw circles around it. Put stars on it. I can't write in my Bible. Hey, the best Bible is a used Bible.
That's right.
Amen. When people see something about it, I have to go, man, that Bible's jacked up. I go, ain't it though? If your Bible still creaks when you open it, amen. You got cobwebs in the pages. You need to use that thing a little bit more. Proverbs 28:1, it says this. It says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Amen. So here's the thing. See. Tell the righteous it shall be well with them. But I'm saying the righteous people are bold people.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to know that in this day. Bold enough, like Sister Vanilla, bold. Open up your mouth.
Amen.
Amen. Don't be hiding behind scripture. Be bold and open up your mouth.
Yeah.
Be bold and stand flat footed and tell people the truth. In love. Mm-hmm. Right? Be bold enough to get out of the boat. Mm-hmm. Be bold enough to raise your hand even though everybody else looking to see if you're going to be wrong. Be bold enough to say, I'll do it and take the lead. Be bold. Why? Because you are righteous.
Amen.
Amen. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. But also, too, he's given you a spirit of boldness. Which is a good thing, too, because he tells you to do what? Come boldly before the throne of grace.
Yes.
Don't come tiptoeing in there like you don't belong. And don't go tiptoeing around this world as if somehow you don't belong. Now, don't be arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
But be confident.
Yes.
And there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I'm blessed. I am righteous. Amen. And God says, all shall be well with me. And so here I am now. God is putting you into a new place, a new season, a new arena in your life, and you don't know really what to do. Don't be afraid, because understand something. I'm the righteousness of God.
Amen.
And I'm as bold as a lion.
Amen.
Amen. And let that fear get off of you. Amen. Now, let's turn to a scripture, amen, because this is one of my wife's favorite scriptures. Let's turn to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Let's look at verse 10 and 11. Psalm 84, verse 10. It says, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Isn't that the truth?
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be the low man on the totem pole in God's house than to be the top man in this wicked society of ours. I'd rather have a basement office in the house of God than to have a corner office in a Fortune 500 company.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Look what it says, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Amen. That's the righteous, amen. He's not going to withhold a good thing for those who walk according to his word.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we can have a confidence that all will be well.
Yeah.
Right? Because God's made some promises to you as the righteousness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to stand on those promises even in the midst. I believe there has to be something with this Shunammite woman when you go back to her. That when her relationship with the man of God over all these years, because you have to believe he continued to come to her house even after her son was born.
Mm-hmm.
So all these years he's coming, and I'm believing that something is being deposited in her that she comes to that place of tragedy and she can say, it's all well.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just get there.
Exactly.
Amen. You don't just get there without having some real foundation in the word of God and in the word of faith. Amen. And so when we walk according to God's word, walk uprightly before him, God said, I'm not going to withhold any good thing from
Amen.
You. Psalm 5:12 says this. It says, the Lord will bless the righteous with favor. He will compass him as with a shield. I love that scripture. It says that God will bless the righteous, and with favor he will surround him as with a shield. Do you know you have a favor shield around you?
Amen.
Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. It's an invisible shield. Other people can't see, but it's a shield of favor that's yeah. around the righteous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. That's why people talk about you. Amen. They try to. They can't understand why they can't take you down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
They can't understand why you still standing, why you still smiling, while you're still going on doing your thing. You have a favor shield around you.
Yeah.
And they're shooting arrows again, and they don't know it's hitting that invisible shield that's all around you. Because God, He blessed the righteous, and He compassed, He surrounds them as with a shield.
Yeah.
I have a favor shield around me. Amen. Glory to God. Why? Because that's a promise to the righteous.
Wow.
Now, I want to show you this. We have to look at these together. Let's go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Glory to God. Psalm 34. And let's look at verse number 15. Psalm of David. He says this. He says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry." Praise God. We see something similar in Proverbs 15 and 29. It says that the Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous. Isn't that good news that God hears your prayers?
Mm-hmm.
See, you can talk to God, you can cry unto God, and because you believe in Jesus and have faith in Jesus, you are now righteous. Amen. And the scripture says that the Lord's eyes are upon you. Glory to God. That means He sees you. He sees you in your struggles. He sees you in your pain. He sees you when you're crying. Amen. He sees you when you're going through. And His ears are open for your prayers, for your cry. Look at verse 17. "The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles."
Yes.
Glory to God. Amen. So it's not just God says, "I hear you." You know how men say that?
Yeah.
You tell them something, they go, "I hear you." "I hear you, man." But they don't do nothing. "Man, I'm broke. I hear you." That's not what you want from your friend. "Man, I can't pay my rent this month." "I hear you." See, God don't hear you like that. See, it says here, "The righteous cry, the Lord hears and delivers." See, God says He don't just hear you, He then provides you means to pay your rent.
Yes.
He ain't just like us, "I hear you." He helps you as well as hears you, right? The Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Look at verse 19. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all."
Yeah.
Yeah, you go through some stuff. Yes, I go through some stuff. But God can deliver us out of them all. There's nothing that you and I can find ourselves in, no mess, no fix, no trouble, that God cannot deliver us out of them. Amen?
Amen.
And He promises to do that for the righteous. The Word of God in Psalm 55 and 22 says that we should cast our burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain us. It says, "He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Isn't that a wonderful promise? That in Psalm 55:22 says, "He will never suffer the righteous to be moved." That means that you and I can stand still in the midst of a storm if we keep our eyes on God. Amen? Isaiah 26:3 says that He will keep us in perfect peace whose minds are stayed on Him. But God makes that promise that He will allow us to stand still. Amen. And we also know too, amen, that there are times where you can stand still because you're standing in faith, but there's other times when problems of life knock you down. Mm-hmm. Anybody ever been knocked down? You ain't afraid to say you've been knocked down by life.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
That life sometimes knocks you down.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the Word of God even speaks to those of us, amen, who get knocked down, amen. Proverbs 24:16 says, "A righteous man shall fall 7 times, but what? Rise up again." Right? See, just because you're righteous doesn't mean you never fall down. Remember when people got mad at Donnie McClurkin?
Yes.
Because he made the song, "We Fall Down, But We Get Up."
Yeah.
You had some sanctimonious.
Yes.
People in the church saying, "Well, if you really like it, you shouldn't be falling down so much."
My God.
Do you remember that? Donnie McClurkin got criticized for having that song, "We Fall Down, But We Get Up."
Yeah.
"We fall down, but a saint is just a sinner who fell down, but got up."
Exactly.
Well, if you really a saint, you shouldn't be falling down so much. Well, excuse me. But life sometimes deals you a blow, and it can knock you off your seat.
That's true. Yeah, that's right. That's
but the blessing is that the righteous man can fall 7 times, but he gets back up again.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Tell the righteous, it shall be well. Yeah, yeah. I know you're knocked down, but I got a message for you as I help you up. It shall be well. Glory to God. That's what I'm telling you. Sometimes, you know, when you get a little bit too religious and pious and stuff, you begin to become fake.
Yes. Exactly.
Do you know there are too many plastic Christians?
Yes.
They're just plastic.
It's true.
Plastic Christians. And most of the plastic Christians stay inside air conditioned buildings because they go out to the heat of the real world, they'll melt.
Exactly.
Plastic Christians. Man, Nina, I need someone who can get in the fire with me.
Amen.
Amen. Because when I go through some stuff, I'm going through the fiery furnace. God had you reading Daniel for a while?
Yeah.
Right? Them Hebrew boys went into the fiery furnace.
Yes,
and thank God there was a fourth one in there who was like the Son of God.
Yes.
That's who I need. I need somebody who can stand with me in the fire. An old plastic Christian can't stand with me in the fire.
That's true.
You're going to melt. You're going to be like that witch in the window, like, I'm melting!
Exactly.
Oh, you phony plastic.
Right.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
They act like people don't mess up.
Hmm.
You're a Christian. You're not supposed to say that. I know I'm not supposed to. But it just came up. You ever say something just come out your mouth?
Yes.
You ever wonder where that come from? You get scared? Whoo! But you didn't still know that was in you?
Uh-huh.
Come on, somebody. We're not perfect. We're being perfected.
Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
We're still on the Potter's wheel, y'all.
Yes, we are.
Amen.
Yes,
we are. I still need Jesus.
Yes.
I still need the blood.
Yes.
You get to the point, you're so perfect, why do you need God?
Exactly.
I still need the Lord. Amen. So, yes, if you fall down, there's no shame in falling down. But you have a promise from God that the righteous get back up again.
Yes. Yes.
Down, but you're not out. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Proverbs 13 and 21 says, evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous, good shall be repaid. Glory to God. Good shall be repaid to those who are righteous. That's why the Message version is good when it says, amen. It says, reassure the righteous that their good living will pay off. And then Brother Les read today the last scripture that I had in my notes.
Wow.
He read Isaiah 54:13-17.
Wow.
Amen. But I'll just summarize there. Verse 14 says, in righteousness you shall be established. Praise God. If you're the righteousness of God, you're not someone who's trying to find, you know what I mean? Like you're just out there lost without it. You're established. And maybe you don't know the exact plan for God for your life, amen? And how many of us can admit to that, amen? That I don't know exactly what God would have me to do, but one thing I do know, I'm established.
Yeah.
God says, in righteousness, you shall be established, amen? You can be able to stand firm and to stand strong. And that's why he says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He says, because I'm the one who created all the weapons makers, right? He said, I'm the one who created the blacksmith. I'm the one who creates the one who destroys. I know how much power they have. And I'm telling you, they don't have enough power to take you out.
Wow.
Come on, somebody. They don't have enough power to take you out. I know how much power the destroyer has. Because I created him. And I know how much power I put inside of you.
Yes.
Wow. Come on. And that's why he can say, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Oh, it's going to hit you.
Uh-huh.
It's going to hit you.
Uh-huh.
You know the picture I got in my mind? It's crazy. What's that movie with the guy? He was like silver. He would pour out silver, and they would shoot him, and a hole would come in him, but then it would heal right back up.
Terminator.
Yeah, the Terminator. Remember, right? And he's running after them, and they shooting him, and go, boom, boom. And then he looks, and he's running after him. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I get hit. But see, I'm the righteousness of God. And I just keep going. Come on, somebody. Amen. Oh, I'll get hit, but it won't prosper. Wow. No, God didn't promise you that you won't get hit. Right? You're going to get hit. Life is going to hit you. And it may put some holes in you for a little bit. But if you keep standing in your established righteousness, you're going to heal right back up and be ready to keep on going.
Amen.
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 Amen. So God has some promises for us, amen, with the righteous. Amen. He said, it shall be well with the righteous. Why? Because blessings are on your head. You're bold. You have a favor shield around you. God answers your prayer. He promises not only just to heal you, but also to deliver you. He gives you strength and stillness and resiliency, allows you to bounce back up and to get back up. He blesses you and gives you success. He establishes you. Why? Because of all the good things you do? No, but because you believe in His Son.
Yes.
And because of that, you are righteous, and God has a word for you in the midst of all the mess of the world and your own personal mess. It shall be well. Now, I just want to go back. We close here, amen, with the Shunammite woman. And just realize that we can be real with each other, and most of all, you can be real with yourself and real with God. That you can be vexed on the inside, but the one thing you can say out of your mouth, it shall be well. Why? Because you have these promises. Amen. You have these promises that we just gone over that are for the righteous. Right? So what we should do with these? Amen. We need to stand on these promises. When you go through things, amen, and things that seem to be going well, remind yourself, blessings are still on my head. Amen. When people are attacking you at work, on the job, on social media, or whatever, say, that's okay, they can't touch me, because God blesses the righteous, and with a shield and with favor, He surrounds me as with a shield.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. They can't touch me. MC Hammer, right? Can't touch this, right? I got a shield of favor. But remind yourself of these things. Stand on these things. Pray these promises, amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Sometimes you just need to repeat things unto God. Repeat things back into His hearing. God, I'm so grateful today, God, that blessings are on top of my head. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Stand on them. Confess them. Believe them. Receive them, amen. And know that you're not just some little old you. You're special in God's sight. You're righteous. And there's all kinds of promises that God has for the righteous. I will tell you this, the book of Proverbs is a good book to read, like from chapter 10 on. Because after chapter 10, you get those little verses that seem to stand on their own. Up until then, you see Proverbs 1 through 9 or more, it themes. The whole chapter would be about adultery or about wisdom or something like that. But then you get to 10 and it'll say like, the righteous do this, but the wicked do that. You know what I mean? And then the next verse will be the same kind of thing, but on a different topic. Read the Proverbs and see how many blessings and promises are on the righteous. Mm-hmm. Amen? And if you're righteous, then you can understand, I'm going to stand on those things, I'm going to believe on those things, I'm going to pray on those things, and I'm going to have those things. And no matter what's going on in my life, I can stand here and go, it's going to be okay with me. How do you know? Because I'm righteous. Right? And you know why I know it's going to be well? Because God has a promise for me. He said, tell the righteous, it shall be well. And so I have to believe, but I won't find out until I go home, that I completed my assignment. Amen. I told the righteous that it shall be well.
Yeah.
Amen. Now it's up to you to go and believe it. Amen. It's up to me now to go walk and believe it. And tell somebody else too. Mm-hmm. Who's righteous.
Yes.
Who believes in Christ. Amen. Amen. So no matter what you're going through, be encouraged. It shall be well with you. Amen. It's going to work out. Let's rest on our feet. Let's pray real quickly. Amen. Glory to God. I thank God. Amen. All the things I'm going through, it shall be well. Amen. I'm grateful for all the things that you're going through. It shall be well. Amen. It shall be well. Glory to God. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for the word you have spoken unto us. We thank you, God, that through faith in the Lord Jesus, that we have been made righteous, that we are in right standing with you. And Father, because of that standing, you've given us special promises, oh God. Father God, you said all will be well with us because we are righteous. You said we have blessings and favor and help and strength and answered prayers and so many other promises that are bestowed and reserved for the righteous. Father, we claim all of them right now by faith. And Father, we ask you, oh God, to help us, oh God. Hallelujah. As we go through this life, oh God, as we fight the good fight of faith, oh God, sometimes like the Shunammite woman, we may be vexed in our soul. But Father, help us, oh God, to keep the word of God in our mouth. You told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Father, let the word of God not depart from our mouth. Let it always be found in there, God, that even as we go through, even when we're vexed in our soul, we will still speak your promises instead of the problem. So, Father, we thank you right now as we stand here. Hallelujah. As we go through the fire, it shall be well. As we go through the water, it shall be well. As we go through the flood, it shall be well. As we go through famine, it shall be well. As we go through attacks, it shall be well. As we go through suffering and lack, it shall be well with the righteous. And so, Father, we thank you for that word and that promise. Let it now be an anchor in our soul as we go forward in this continued walk with you in faith. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Father, we stand in agreement with you and with your word, and we give you the praise that it shall be well with the righteous. To you we give the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. It shall be well. Amen.